Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Cosmic Circus review. My name is Vin, and with me, as always, is movie reviewer John Dotson. Today, we're doing The Crow. Both of them. After Eric Draven and his girlfriend Shelley are unexpectedly murdered, Eric comes back from the dead for revenge. So the first Crow movie, 1994, directed by Alex Troyes, written by David J. Shaw and John Shirley. It adapts the 1989 comic by James O'Barr, and it stars Brandon Lee as the Crow. John, when did you first watch the first Crow?
I genuinely don't remember when I watched the first one. I know that it was one of those movies that I remember that kind of like snuck up on everybody. It wasn't very like talked about. And then it was like a word of mouth kind of like the sort of thing when Brandon Lee kind of like gave it a little bit of a boost.
Do you know the details of what happened?
I know that I don't remember what scene it was. I think it was like, you might know. I don't know if you did some research, but from my knowledge, somebody had a bullet in one of the guns, and I think it was in the sequence, the table sequence where he like spins on the table.
I'm not sure. I might have misread. I thought it was something in the room that he shares with Shelley. I think when he gets shot in that room, but I don't know.
That could be it. I'm not knowledgeable enough to even really know.
So what happened is there was a gun, and through the errors of multiple people messing up and getting lazy at multiple points, even the weapon safety person was like let home early that day. He went home early. And so through multiple things, somehow there was a gun, somehow I think with like some real bullet or some kind of fake bullet with enough power, and it shot the real actor and killed him right at the end of the shoot. So the real actor, Brandon Lee, who I believe is the son of Bruce Lee, passed away on this movie. Very tragic. John, do you think this movie is worth the praise even without the tragedy? On its own, what do you think about The Crow?
So I rewatched it this week. I think you did too.
My first time.
I don't think it aged very well, and I think it's very. It dates itself pretty hard because of all the grunge. It's like an 80% grunge rock soundtrack. Which hey, I'm a 90s kid.
Yeah.
I love grunge rock, but I do think it kind of dates itself. What I did think about while watching the movie is between this movie and Dark City, which is another Alex Proyas film, it's amazing how much I think the Wachowskis pulled from both films.
In my opinion, not just the Wachowskis. When I was watching this, one of the first things I thought, especially from that opening, some of the first thoughts I thought of, this is the missing link between Tim Burton's Batman and Blade. They even have like some like rave scenes, right? This is the missing link that between the early 90s and the late 90s. And this is 1994. It's perfectly in the middle. This is your missing link. So I was surprised that it doesn't have the same like, I know it's a cult classic, but it doesn't have the same status as Batman, Blade, Matrix. But I think it's the little piece that connects them. Yeah, go on.
There is a cult there for this, though. A pretty strong cult. I mean, you kind of saw it in the reaction. Like, when the trailer for the new one came out, there was so much of a blowback from that preview. But what I'm specifically thinking about is Brandon Lee running across the rooftops.
Yeah.
That it's so similar to Trinity, running across rooftops.
I felt it a lot too in that boardroom scene, that table scene, when he has like the double guns and he's going.
Yeah.
I felt the Neo there, you know? With his coat, with the long coat. Yeah.
It felt very, very Wachowski. And so it just kind of like makes me just like think that the Matrix kind of like goes a little bit to Hugs prayers, you know? And the other thing is, when I think about the Crow, I also think about the Craft. Have you heard of the Craft?
No.
Okay, so they both feel like movies of that time where it was like gothic, supernatural, 1990s, like grunge cinema, where it's like where you can feel like when you rewatch it, you feel like you're transported back in the 90s, you know. And there's a supernatural element.
I agree with what you're saying earlier. It does feel very dated, you know. It feels very 90s, like I said, between Batman and Blade. But I really like that about it. I really like film history, so I really like appreciating where this movie came out, when this movie came out, and where it stands in like the timeline of cinema, you know. So dating itself isn't a negative. It doesn't have to be a positive. But for this movie in particular, because it's so stylized, because it's so 90s, when you look at the bad guy with his long hair, like that, you know, I love comics, and that guy feels straight out of like a Morbius comic with his long, long gothic hair. He could be a vampire in that 90s Morbius, and I love 90s Morbius. So I personally, I loved how like stylized this was. I loved how cool, how exaggerated, like the city doesn't feel
very
like a normal city. The city feels like it's not Sin City, but you know, it feels that same kind of like, this is a different reality. And I really, really like that.
And I like the visual look of it. I think it's a very visually great film. Visually, it's a very, the problems, like the bigger problems I had, like rewatching it, were the it, you know, and the, I don't know if they're as bad after watching the new one, but I don't know if they're as bad as like I thought. But some of the dialogue, is just delivered kind of a little rough. But the one thing that I can say, you know, that I got to give Brandon Lee is that he's genuinely terrifying in it. And
he is so good in this. He's
genuinely
so good.
Terrifying in it. He's like, it's almost like you're on the side of Michael Myers. And he's just, but if Michael Myers is like killing bad guys. And you're just like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like a slasher for the criminals.
But one thing is, he there's some magic about him. You really like him too. Like he's charismatic.
You do. You
like,
do.
There's some charm to him. Like I want to just for one second. I want to talk about the new movie. How would you compare this movie to that movie? Because for me, when I watched this new movie, I was like, I didn't feel any connection. I felt like he's a sad emo boy on a murder spree.
And are, I was we, like, are we going are into we doing the new movie now? Are we
just
going
just
into
briefly,
the...
just for this discussion? How would you compare like their revenge kind of? Because like one guy, they're both going on like a murder spree for revenge, but it feels different in the new movie, right?
What I'll say is that what the old one does better. We'll go heavier into it, but like
later,
what
later,
the old one,
yeah.
What the old one does better is that it manages to make you understand the character's heart as it goes along. You know, like at first you're not there, but the more it goes, the more it plays out, the more you understand Raven's motivation. And you get the backstory, you get where this guy is coming from as it plays out. Now, I'm going to pivot now to the new one. I have zero understanding what this guy's motivation is. I don't understand what he wants. I don't know. I don't understand who he is. I don't even understand what the hell is going on. Genuinely, like, I'm trying to be nice and constructive. This is a terrible film. The new Crow is bad. It is very bad. And I wanted to give it a chance. I was dying to give it a chance, and it is what they did to Eric Draven. It is Eric Draven in there, right? Like,
no, just Eric.
Just Eric. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that just makes a lot of sense. Because he's just the Crow. Like, okay. The Crow.
I want to say, the first movie, you touched on it earlier, I think the magic to that first movie is because there's so much heart. A lot of that heart comes from that Sherry, right? The little girl.
Little girl, yeah.
Yeah.
In the backstory, you get flashes of the backstory too. Yeah.
Yeah, but that I think my point of view, having it from the girl's perspective, for a lot of it, it's even her voiceover. Like she's the kind of the heart of the movie, and you see the Crow through her point of view sometimes. And there's a magic in that movie. Like somehow it toes the line between a really crappy B budget movie, like B movie budget, whatever, and some like awesome revenge Matrix thing. Like it somehow toes the line between those. Like you said, you talked about the dialogue and like it's all stylized and heightened, but there's magic to it. There's heart to it. There's like emotion. Yeah. You care, and what I think is really ironic is in this movie, the original, you barely spend time with Shelley. She's just the fiance who dies. She basically gets fringed. In this new movie, they spend like half the movie building this relationship between them, and I didn't feel a GD thing. I didn't feel anything for them. I was confused. He just met her, like, because we were following the whole relationship. I'm like, you just met this girl. I like, this is like the meet cute still. I'm like, okay, you're still like hanging out, going to parties, whatever. And then she dies, and now you're gonna go on a giant murder spree for like this one girl you just met.
Well, like, I mean, like, you know, the editing implies that there's more there.
Uh-huh.
But the problem, no, believe me, I'm not defending it. I'm not. Okay. I'm not. We need
this to be. This is a 90-minute movie. They could have included more if they wanted to.
We need to be clear on this. I'm not defending this movie. Uh-huh. They meet, and I, and this is not a spoiler for anybody. They meet in the most kindergarten way that anybody can meet. They sit at a table together, and that's it. That's it. That is the crutch.
And he's like, boys aren't allowed to sit with girls.
Yes, that's it. And okay, and let me just like top that off. I'm gonna put a topper on that one. What is even prisons in this movie? Like what?
I think it's a rehab center.
No sense. What is prisons? What are they in this film?
I just didn't understand.
No, like, so he just cuts it off and runs away and there's nobody. I'm sorry. I'm going to get into spoilers. But it's awful. Prisons don't make sense in The Crow. But the biggest issue with the film is that the movie wants you to be in love with their romance. The movie hinges on their romance. The entire film, the heart, hinges on their love. And never at all does it earn it at all. It never earns it. It never makes any attempt to earn anything with their love. You never buy that they're in love. They might be in lust, but there's no love that's there. They don't go deep into it. There's no deep connection. You spend 45 minutes with them and you learn nothing about who they are as a couple at all.
And I want to ask you, in the first movie, you spend like 4 seconds with them as a couple. Why is that better?
Because I think a lot of it is told through his face,
mm-hmm.
His pain.
It is.
You get the pain in his face. And
the little girl, too. And the little girl.
There's something about the phrase, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. We get brief glimpses into what his life was before anything happened. And we're able to, like, write the rest of the story on our own based on those little glimpses of his past. Here, it tells you everything, and none of it's good. Like, none of it's good. Like, they give you the whole story, and the story sucks.
That was terrible. I thought about this. Like, it's so... I use this word a lot, I think, in our Alien review. It's so egregious how much time they spend with her. I think the reason they did that is to avoid like fridging complaints, right? Because essentially, really, Shelly is fridged in the first movie. Yeah. Even in the comic, that's the essence of the Crow, is that the girl's dead and the guy goes on revenge. That's fridging, classic. So I think in this movie they said, "Oh, it's 2024. How do we avoid this?" And so they said, "Well, we'll build the romance, but then like give me some Harry Met Sally stuff, you know, like not this.
There's nothing there. They're like, "Hi, how are you?"
She's dead.
You know, and the thing is, like, I can see the nuggets of a good film.
I did not see them.
I can see the nuggets of a good film here. They were trying to go for like Bones and All. Did you ever see Bones and All?
No.
Oh man, okay. Watch Bones and All, but that's a different subject.
Okay.
There's brief moments where you can see that they're trying to make it like Bones and All.
What's the connection?
It is two unlikely people that are on the road. Mm-hmm. On the run from something, okay. And they fall in love. It's got Timothy Chalamet. I can't remember the girl's name.
Okay.
But it's like
that's a good setup. Yeah.
But in the film, they are like cannibals. It's very well story.
That is a twist.
Okay. Pretty interesting.
This movie would be better with cannibals.
It would be better with anything. But I can see the nuggets there for something like that, where there's a romance that is built on a road trip that goes tragic. I can see that. If you actually cared about their romance, you don't.
It's so underwritten. Everything is so flat. Like, I don't care about his revenge quest because I don't care about the romance. I don't understand why he's going around killing these people. And if he's supposed to kill the people who killed her, why is he killing every... I don't know, are we in spoilers? Why is he killing every individual person in the opera scene? Which is not a spoiler. That scene's on YouTube. It's been on YouTube for a week. It's the best scene of the movie already on YouTube. By the way, sorry, one more second. That opera scene? That opera. I wanted to watch that opera. Every time they cut to the opera, I was like, I wanted to see that opera. That was so much better than the rest of the movie. It actually looked really cool. I want to see the opera cut. Okay, John, sorry.
Well, let's go into spoilers. We're 20 minutes in. Let's do this. Let's go into spoilers. You ready for this? Let's go into spoilers.
Spoilers, I guess.
Spoilers for starting right now. If you care about watching The Crow, if you care.
If you don't understand the story, it's like paper thin. What is it? Everyone dies.
Based on my movie theater last night, I don't think you care about The Crow. But if you do care about The Crow, get out now.
I was surprised how many people were there. I was really, yeah. really, really surprised.
Okay, where to begin?
Okay. I want to ask you. Let's start here. What did you think about the design of the character?
It's terrible, man. It's just not a good character. I mean,
okay.
I dig the makeup. The best thing the film's got going for it is maybe the makeup at the end of it. Like, that is like a, mm-hmm. the kindest mm-hmm. thing that I could say is that I dug mm-hmm. how he looks at the end of the
I was kind of okay with it. Like, his final, like, evolution, I was okay. Yeah. Not as an adaptation of the 94 movie, just as his own thing.
He does his own thing. There's no white makeup or anything. It's just black ink around his face. I'm like, that's kind of cool. I don't hate that.
You know what I was thinking? What maybe they could have done? Maybe what they should have done? Instead of Eric and Shelley, just make these two original characters and make it like, you know, like kind of like an anthology. Like, you can make a Crow franchise where it's just different people who get wronged and they come back for revenge. And just build a franchise on that. Different people who die and they come back for revenge. It doesn't have to be Eric and Shelley. You change their names. This is not as bad.
How does the lore even work in this movie, though?
Oh, dude, it was...
That's what I'm saying. Like, how does anything work in this film?
It's very strange. Yeah.
Nothing works at all in this movie. Like, I got confused by the Crow afterlife bit.
Really weird, dude.
It's very weird. It's very strange. The bad guy, I don't know the name of the actor.
Danny Houston.
Bless his heart. It yeah. seems like
he tried. He tried.
It seems like every time he's in a comic book franchise, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like the last one I can remember was like he was in X-Men Origins.
Oh, and I remember him. He was in Wonder Woman.
Was he?
Yeah.
He got one. Good for him. He got one. But it's very rare, and it just seems like he picks the worst villains to play. And I had no connection. I had no fear of him. That entire subplot involving the cell phone kept screeching the movie to a halt.
Real stupid. Like real. I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Every like 10 or 15 minutes in the movie, we get going. We're back on the cell phone thing.
Isn't even like I expect to see something really horrible. It's not. It's the same thing we already see him doing. He whispers in someone's ear and then they kill someone. All right.
Yeah. So it's uninteresting and it's not. It's just like it brings the movie to a halt.
I seriously think if you change the names and if you don't explicitly try to make this like a remake or something, if you just say this is loosely adapted, this is like the world of the Crow, and it's just some other guy going on his own revenge John Wick thing, I think people would have given this more grace. But because it's the same name, the same characters as 1994, you're like, okay, so this is the new Eric and Shelley? Really? Like, if this is like a Twister Twisters thing, rather than a straight up like 1-to-1 remake, because it's baffling how you go from the comic or you go from the 94 movie to this. I'm like, how? Like when I was watching this, like sometimes I had to remind myself, wait. This is based on the same thing. It really feels like it's just its own original crap, like its own thing, just doing its own thing. Like you forget if the movie forgets its own plot. Like it just forgets what we're here to do, right?
Sorry. It seems it's okay, man. It's okay. It seems like they couldn't decide whether they wanted to make it a superhero film or like John Wick. Like it was like they couldn't like figure out which direction they wanted to go, so they were trying to like mix both.
But it's so easy to do. Like the John Wick story, he starts with his dog dead, the Crow starts with the girlfriend dead, and then goes on revenge.
Yeah,
it's such a simple setup. It's so simple.
Yep. And the problem is that you spend an hour and 15 minutes waiting for anything to happen. And then like I might argue that the last 20 minutes is kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
But did you like the opera scene? That whole sequence?
I did. I would have liked it better if I had any emotional attachment to anyone.
It's zero.
In the film.
None. Yeah, yeah.
But like, it is a good like, it's a good action scene. I think it's a good action scene.
Yeah, but it's like it's empty calories. Like, there's no like substance. You know,
there's nothing there because you don't. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to. That opera looked beautiful. Like the opera on the stage. I just wanted to hold on that. It looked like kudos to the director for doing that because it looked okay.
I think.
What did you think about Bill Skarsgård's performance?
I think Bill Skarsgård. I think he did the best he could with what he was given.
He wasn't given anything. Yeah,
he's not given anything to do, and I think what he has is not much room to work with. You know, he can't convince that he. Like I got that he loves her, but the movie itself did not communicate that to me.
I think love is a strong word.
Okay,
I thought that he enjoyed her company and that she was like a girlfriend, but I didn't feel like in the first movie, it's fiance. Like that's wife material. They're getting married and there's so much heart to it. It's just, even though you never meet her, you understand what she meant to him. And this movie, I don't understand. I don't feel what, like he's at the funeral and he introduces himself to the mom. He's like, I'm a friend of your daughter. Like,
I know.
Like where's the deep, like this is supposed to be a love for the ages. That's why he should be chosen as the Crow, because his love was so powerful.
A friend of your daughter, but dude, like yeah, that like I would argue that even he's undercooked. Like his character, there's nothing there about I watched an hour and 45 minutes of that movie. You know, I don't know who Eric is as a person. I know I know he saved a horse. Okay. That's all. It was mom.
I forgot about that horse. What was...
Yeah. I know, I know he saved a horse. I know his mom might have been on drugs.
What was the whole point of any of that? I completely forgot about that.
There was not a point. That's all I'm saying. Nothing about him at all. Nothing about him. You don't know what his motivations are. You don't know what kind of food he likes. You know, we rather have curious, Zane. We got nothing from him at all as a character.
Like, the first movie, there's so much tragedy. You feel how broken he is. Especially because you see it from Sherry's point of view, that little girl. Like, you feel the brokenness. Even if you never really met Shelley, but you feel it. And I forgot to say earlier, that first movie is gorgeously edited. The editing is so smooth. It's so beautiful. That, like, there's fades, there's blurs. Like, it's so stylish. And I love when, like, the crow is flying around. You follow the crow's point of view. I was really mad in this movie. The crow never sits on his shoulder. I was really mad about that. Not one time. The crow never sits. And I was like, do you want a crow movie or not?
There is one cool shot. Only one that I can name. And he's like, he's walking down a set of train tracks, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's light in the background. Okay. He's walking towards the camera and you can see the crow flying next to him. Like, I remember that was just like only one that I remember thinking, wow, that was kind of cool. But other than that,
it just makes me sad. Like, if you're going to do Crow, at least, like, try. Like, I saw the original Crow for the first time, like, 2 days ago, but I understand why people like it. I understand why people don't. Sometimes it feels like a B-movie, but I understand why people do, because there's so much heart, and the action is cool, and it's, like, really beautifully made, even if it's a little awkward sometimes. But it's, like, it's a lovable movie. And this movie is just, who is it for?
I mean, like, it seems like it was made to get fans of The Crow to come pay for it, but they clearly don't want anybody to come pay for it, because there was no marketing for the film, there was no...
I didn't even know there was a trailer out. I almost thought this was cool. I thought they were releasing this with no marketing, no trailer, nothing. I was like, oh, that's a cool move. And then I said, no, there is a trailer, just nobody watched it. There was a trailer 5 months ago, just nobody cared.
People watched it, and it got a lot of blowback. I mean, it was like...
I missed all of this.
Yeah, there was a lot of blowback to his
look. I believe it. His look.
Yeah, the way he looks. And at the time, I was defending it. Like, I was defending it because I was like, dude, Bill Skarsgård. Like, let's give the Skarsgård a chance. Come on. I mean, he's earned a chance. If the movie cared at all about giving any work to the story, to the character development, to, like, making any of the universe work. You know, we were talking about that prison thing a while ago. Mm-hmm. Dude, what kind of prison is that? Like, what kind of prison is that? Like, everybody gets, like, very comfortable sweats in a nice room.
Everything is, like, the world is, like, overridden, but the character's underridden. So, like, his jacket has a backstory. His makeup, there's a whole explanation for it. Like, there's some weird, like, conspiracy-layered villainy. And like, even the way they meet, they had to have, like, 20 minutes to set up how they meet. And then, oh, they're in love. Like, why does all of this need so much extra explanation? You can't just be, like, guy, girl, they like each other. Move on. Like, everything's over-explained. You can't just say, he has a jacket. He puts on makeup. No, everything. It's like, you know, the Solo thing or like the Disney prequels where, like, they go back in time and they have to explain every little detail of their outfit.
But that's the funny thing about it. Even though it's over-explained, they literally tell you nothing while they're explaining. It's like sitting in a room with, like, a person who's rambling at you, but, like, they're not telling you anything. They're just like...
Are you talking about me, John?
No. So back in 1945, and just like 3 hours later, and that's how I tried bubblegum that one time. You know, it's like, what? But the more they tell you, the less you know about anybody in this film. And it is a lack of character, a lack of understanding. I think kind of right. It feels like the first draft of his story that never got to like the third or fourth rewrite.
Do you think this was impacted by the strikes? No.
No, I don't. No? I genuinely don't think so. Because like by the strikes, I think like the strikes were around the time that that trailer came out, I think. Yeah, I could be wrong. I mean, I could be wrong.
Somebody watching, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I could be wrong on that. It's been a while. That feels like a lifetime ago too. But it could be. It feels like the first draft of a movie that never got any rewrite at all.
It feels like a couple different ideas that they like cobbled together. I don't even know if I want to call it one draft because it's just not. It doesn't hold together very well. To me, it feels like a couple sub drafts, like three different ideas, and they just stitched it together somehow.
And then just did not fix any of it. Like, I mean, I knew I was in trouble watching it when they went to the laundry room, cut off their ankle,
and left it in the laundry room.
Cut off their ankle bracelets, and then just walked out of the prison like it was just nothing. I was like, oh. So no, but like, I mean, it's that easy. It's that easy to get out of there.
It's really strange. Like, there was no tension in that chase. Yeah. There was nothing.
No tension, and it's never revisited. They're not on the run from the law.
And I thought it was weird. I can't call him Eric. How did Bill Skarsgård know that window is like the way to escape and it will be successful and it will work? How did he know all this? Did he see somebody escape before? And if that's the case, why hasn't he escaped already?
Yeah, and if it's that easy, why doesn't everybody do it? It's just like...
But there is an option. What if he likes the prison? What if he like feels comfortable there and he doesn't feel comfortable in society? But to suggest that is to add character and depth, which they did not do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea if they actually told us anything about Eric.
You know, if he knows how to escape, but he chooses to stay in the prison because he has nothing out there. But then with Shelley, now he has a life. Maybe that's why he escapes. But that is me suggesting this with my own brain instead of the movie setting this up for me, right?
Yeah, so I got a question about the girl that plays Shelley. I'll forget her name.
FKA Twigs.
FKA Twigs. Has she been in anything before?
Terrible. I don't know. What name is FKA? Do you think is that like her initials or something? Or just
I think she's a musician.
She's a singer, songwriter, dancer, backup dancer. She has many music albums.
No, I mean I knew she was a musician, but has she been in any films? Because it really feels like she hasn't been in any movies before.
I don't know.
Based on that, again, I'm sure she's a wonderful person.
She was in Honey Boy with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah. And that's in... Okay, so...
Does that answer all your questions?
I didn't see Honey Boy, but I will...
But you know Shia LaBeouf.
I know Shia LaBeouf. Well, from what I understand, they were together. They were together at that film, and he was kind of... He was kind of abusive to her, if I remember.
Yes. She's the one. Yeah, I see this. Before Shia LaBeouf, she dated Robert Pattinson. They were engaged. She was engaged to Robert Pattinson.
Oh, wow. Well, she seems one. She seems like a nice person. No, but I just don't think she's a good actress. I just don't think... The first scenes that she was in when she was like... delivering dialogue, it kind of like hit me like a paper cut. I was just like, ooh, like it felt rough. It got a little better as it went along, but I wasn't a big fan of her performance either.
I think with the writing, it sometimes it's hard to tell what the bigger problem is.
That's the issue, is that the writing is so bad, and it's the same thing with Skarsgård. Like I felt like he was trying, but like I don't know, man. To summarize, it's a bad film. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it in the theater. I don't recommend it at home. I don't even recommend it for streaming. There's way too much content for things to be made this lazy right now.
Even this weekend, there's so many better things coming out right now.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, honestly, we should have watched Blink twice.
Why not? Yeah.
You know, but I didn't like it. Watch it on a game.
Believe it or not, I think I somehow liked this a little bit more than you did. Because I liked some of the stylistic attempts, like with his design, with the music. I liked some of that.
Yeah, I mean, Rupert Sanders can do that. He can make style. Like, he did, like, Snow White and the Huntsman, I think. Like, there are some stylistic choices in those films. Still a bad movie. It's still not good, and
this is like a really bad made for streaming movie. Like, it doesn't feel like it's appropriate in movie theaters. It's not worth the movie theater space.
I don't think I would watch it on streaming either.
It's just for suckers who happen to click on it.
right. So yeah, not a very good film. I'm still a fan of Skarsgård. I think he did the best he could. FKA Twigs, I'm running for you to get a better movie. Hopefully you get a better one, and I can judge your performance on a better film.
Maybe you should watch Honey Boy.
Maybe I have to watch Honey Boy. Yeah, maybe I should.
Who knows? Maybe she's great in that.
She's probably amazing in that. But
anyway,
not a very good film. Seems like a good wrapping up one. But
yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for watching us. I hope you didn't watch The Crow. If you like this review, please like, subscribe, leave a comment below. Our goal is to reach 1,000 subscribers, so please subscribe. And let us know in the comments, like, what's your history with The Crow? Is there anything you liked about this new movie? Let us know, because I'm genuinely interested to see, you know, these different points of view. I'm Vin. You can find me on Twitter at VinWritesWords.
I'm John. You can find me at JohnMovieWatch on Twitter.
And be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Twitter at MyCosmicCircus. Where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the one you just watched. And thanks, guys. We'll see you next time, hopefully with something better. Bye.
Bye.